Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. My name is Tobin, and I am back this week with Carly and Caleb at the Teen Life Podcast, and we are so glad to have our second episode of the year with you today, and I am so excited. We're going to talk today about a little thing called Twitch, which if you're older, you have no idea what that is, so we're going to explain a little bit. We're going to talk about fighting at school and connections, but we're going to start our day off with one of my favorite things on ever, like ever. I love these things. We're going to talk today about conspiracies, and we're going to call this Conspiracy Corner because I'm hoping that this is something that we will do on a regular basis because I love a good conspiracy, which is also because I like documentaries and stuff like that. So today we are going to talk specifically about the TikTok generated conspiracy about Helen Keller, which if you're listening, you're like, what in the world, Tobin? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, but let me tell you, teenagers on TikTok say that Helen Keller isn't real, or at least that she wasn't blind and deaf. And the reasonings why they list are because she flew a plane, she wrote books, and had great handwriting. They think schools exaggerated her disability to make her an inspirational story. So I throw you out the TikTok facts, like, which are not real facts, but the TikTok facts. What say you, my conspiracy people? What do y'all think?
I want to start with a question, which is, did y'all ever watch the documentary on Helen Keller in school?
No.
I learned really? A lot about her.
No, I didn't.
But yeah, I mean, she was...
watched a movie about her and how she spoke, and like, it is like ingrained in my brain forever. But then, I don't know, the first time I heard about this, I thought it was ridiculous. Like, this is... There's like so much video and photo evidence that she was a real person and all of this stuff. But then once I really dug into the TikTok conspiracy universe, I was like, I don't know. Like, she was a real person, but I don't know if they exaggerated things or not. And it's Gen Z is locked in on this one. It's been around for a couple of years, but man, it's out there.
I remember this, like, in college, there were people that were like, Helen Keller's not real. And I had a similar reaction to you, Carly. I was like, guy, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, pretty sure she existed. And then they're like, no, like, she wasn't blind. Like, because then you're sitting there, you're like, okay, right? You are blind and deaf. How could you learn to write? How could you learn to, like, that's crazy, right? Like, this thought of someone being able to identify, like, water and, you know, like, write books and have handwriting is just, I feel like it's just like, you're like, that's a stretch. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think I was like, no way. Then the more I think about it, it's like, that is a lot. So, like, either it wasn't, she's not blind to death or deaf, or just truly a remarkable story. So,
yeah. So, I was later to this. I think, I want to say, Carly, you even told me about this. You said, have you heard about this? And I was like, what conspiracy are you talking about? Like, I remember at our team meeting, I was like, this does not sound real, but... So I think you sent me one and I watched a couple, and it was kind of one of those moments where I was just like, wait, hold on. Like, because I had never really thought in the years of learning about her, I had never really thought that if you are blind and deaf, you really can't learn how to do basically anything. And so I don't know, at least back then, because the technology wasn't as good as it is now. So I kind of like went to two different modes of thought, because listen, we live in a world like we're literally watching right now as people and politicians and stuff like that are literally like being found out for lying about their whole persona. And so it's like, hey, like people do that. People have that mentality, and maybe she did as well. And just was maybe she was a pioneer for that way and just kind of doing that kind of stuff. But the other thought I had was maybe we were, you know, because like I know people that are partially deaf that can hear just fine, you know, or that they're labeled deaf that can hear, but they're just hard of hearing, you know, and maybe she, when they say blind, they mean like, hey, she can't really see, but she can also kind of make things out, you know. So I don't know, maybe they were exaggerated, but it was just a weird, like, another example of Gen Z kind of like being little detectives, and they're just like, man, maybe they got like a, you know, some sort of run here that we might need to look into. So I'm all for conspiracies. I love it.
I will say, though, I saw TikTok as I was looking into this. I will share one that I'm pretty sure is a teenager talking about just like briefly why she thinks it's a conspiracy. So it's a fun watch. It's really quick. But I also saw one, and I also think this is fair, of I think it's silly of us to limit what we think she can do because of a disability.
That's fair. Yeah.
And I do think people make light of that, but I mean, it is remarkable. No matter what, it's remarkable what she was able to do. And so to take away from that, but this is one, ask a teenager in your life what they believe about Helen Keller, because I guarantee you it will be a hilarious conversation. And I can also almost guarantee you that they will fall on the side of she's not real or it was exaggerated. And so gear up, get ready to argue your point and go into battle.
Yeah, come prepared with your side of the facts.
Yeah.
But it's also, I feel like, an interesting like thing of like as you evaluate, all right, the Gen Z and the teenagers, like it's cool, right? Of taking information that school that teachers are giving you and able to process it and give it thought of, okay, like what?
Yeah, like,
there's no way, right? To think critically. And so I think that's cool, right? And so, you know, your Gen Z teenagers out there, don't lose that critical thought of being able to take what information's given at you and be able to form your own thoughts and maybe second guess some things. It's cool.
Next week on Conspiracy Corner, we're going to talk about, is Stevie Wonder actually blind? Because I got videos on that one too. So just saying.
Oh, no.
There's one, and then we'll move on. There's one where he literally is playing the piano at a concert and the mic stand next to him falls and he grabs it as it's falling and puts it back up. And it's like, hold on, bro. Like, hold on. Like, so
superpowers. Anyway.
That's like for another Conspiracy Corner. But for today, we're going to switch over and talk about something that also us older people don't really understand. And that is Twitch. If you are unaware what Twitch is a streaming site where a lot of it started out as a gaming site where gamers would get on and stream the games they are playing. And people could tune in and watch them and just kind of create a little community. And as things do in our world, that went crazy. And a lot of things came out of it. And a lot of people started monetizing off of it. And whenever people monetize off of it, things go a little haywire. And so if you are unaware of if you're a parent or a school staff listening and you're unaware of the teens that you are around and being on Twitch, just know, first of all, that Twitch can be a great place for some great things, but it also has some things that can be a little dangerous. And one of those things was it had a lot of sexual content. It was getting out of control. And so recently they have changed their sexual content policy. They said it was unclear before, so they wanted streamers to know what is allowed, and they hope that this will help with labeling so that they know what is suitable for younger audience. And they are now prohibiting pornographic content, full or partial nudity, and it includes attire guidelines. And just as of note, popular dances such as twerking, grinding, and pole dances are now allowed without a label, but they're trying to, are they trying to get rid of that? Is that what I'm reading that?
No, it's new.
Yeah, it's brand new. It came out like this mid-December, and it's super interesting because basically what was happening on the platform is that these creators weren't labeling their content like as mature because they were just really towing the line. Like I know for a bit, one of the like metas in the Twitch streamer, and like too, if you haven't heard of Twitch, things like that, if you ask a teen, they will probably have a favorite Twitch streamer or YouTuber. So it's a platform that a lot of teens especially are on to find community. I know we talked about it in, you know, our parasocial episode and some of our other ones, but basically what was happening is one of the metas on Twitch was like this, and because they're telling the guidelines, but basically topless streams where it's like top of chest up and you know you're just streaming talking. And you technically allowed, and it was like on the front page, like right when you'd open Twitch, it'd just be right there. And so they're like, okay, we want to define at what point you have to tag your stuff as mature. Mm-hmm. So that way it's not going to show up at the top of these pages. It won't show up on the homepage. And then whenever you click on it, it has hey, are you 18 and up? And you just click yes or no. There's no real checks and balances. So I think it's an attempt to make sure that this content is separate. But whenever this released, it was like pandemonium. All of these creators and stuff were testing the limits on, okay, well, if it's artistic, that was the big thing. If it's artistic nudity, then it's allowed. And so
if it's drawn or like sculpted, it's fully allowed.
Yeah. And so you go to the art page and it is just full of just mature content. And so it's something to keep an eye on as it progresses on how it actually plays out.
The thing about this, and we talked about this with Facebook a couple weeks ago on our episode two, is that it's not just about like if somebody needs or wants to find this stuff, they're going to be able to find it. It's more of about, hey, if someone's not trying to find this stuff, like if you have a teenager that's just getting on Twitch innocently or trying to find stuff, what's being thrown in their face that could possibly be, I don't know, tempting or just like jarring? Like, what are they seeing that they're not actually searching for? Right. I mean, my own self, like I'm a 39-year-old man, and when I open up the search bar on my Instagram, it's just littered with things that they think I want to see because I'm a 39-year-old man. Yeah. And now we're doing that with teens too, of, hey, if we put this on here, then we think we might get some hits for it. And so it's regulating more of what you're seeing. But also, if you are an adult listening that has teens that do this, whether it's school staff or parents, like, just be aware that this is something, this is just another thing that your teen can get into and get things that maybe they shouldn't be getting into. They are changing content recommendations for the homepage, like Caleb said. So streams that are labeled as including drugs, intoxication or excessive tobacco use, violent and graphic depictions, gambling and sexual themes, they will no longer be included on the homepage shells for the visual natures, but they can still search for it and go directly find it. Mm-hmm. So I think in a way I'm happy that they're doing this, because it's like, it's a win that we're not just going to throw this into a 14-year-old's face and have them be tempted to do stuff with that. But in another way, it's like, man, could y'all just like lock some of this stuff down a little bit, because it's like a wild west out there.
Yeah. And I like you said, it's nothing new. Like if you go to YouTube, there's like their content guidelines are like, if it's educational, right, a lot of this stuff is allowed. And so there's people all the time on YouTube and other platforms that, like, you know, you probably even use that it's there, right, and present if you go look for it. But, you know, it's about keeping it separate. And so we'll try to keep you updated on like how this progresses. Cause I think in the end, hope it's a good thing. It could be, but it just depends on how it'll play out and how the creators use the guidelines and how they toe around it. So we'll just keep you updated. It's a world that I'm involved in on all these things of that sphere. So, and I know it's something your kids are probably into. So just trying to keep you updated on it all.
Next, I want to switch topics, and this is one that we've been talking about as a teen life staff in our groups. It comes up quite a bit. I have had lots of conversations with teenagers, and it is about fighting, specifically at school. So getting in fist fights, challenging someone. Someone was telling us recently there's a local school that has like a fight week towards the end of the year, I believe, that it's just like known that if you have beef with someone, that is a week that you're going to fight them. And a story that I'll try to link it, that one of our facilitators actually has been talking about this a lot, because she has a student in one of her teen life groups who was just a fighter at heart and loved to get into little brawls. And she actually brought up to him that she would give him cosmic brownies every week if he didn't get into a fight, which is just a great motivational tool, honestly.
Sweet.
And I believe the very first week, he was like an hour shy of making it and got into a fight. And so he didn't get the brownie. After that, he has been fight free. And the cosmic, she got like the big box of cosmic brownies. And every week, he has been fight free. And I'll talk about in a little bit what he personally is doing for that. But to give you a stat, there is something called the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. And it's usually a little behind. So this is from 2021, but 18.3% of teens were in a physical fight, 23.3% of boys. So it's way higher for boys, but that's almost a fourth. So if you're sitting around with a group of boys, the chances that one of them have gotten in a fight are pretty high. And 5.8% of all teens were in a physical fight on school property. And so this is something that we're seeing. There's a article that I'll link where some students, I think like 11, got arrested because they got into a fight in the middle of the day. Three of them were charged with felonies. And so there are huge consequences for fights that we don't want to see our teens obviously doing that or engaging in that.
Yeah.
I think, too, it's interesting, like, with the teens that I have in the youth group that will come, there's a fight today at school. And, you know, the first thing that they will do is pull up a video. And, you know, it's just this interesting culture, right, of the schools are telling, as they should, right, all of the students, hey, if there is a fight, do not get involved. Do not try to break it up, right? It'll just add to it and maybe escalate this fight that's already going on. But there is, however, this culture of, oh, that was cool. And, you know, if a fight breaks out, everyone around school is going to know about it and have a video about it. And two, like, I, you know, I understand this not breaking it up, but it's also, I think, a problem that schools are having of discouraging, right, the spread of almost not romanticizing it, but saying, oh, that's cool, right? That's something that people are talking about. So it's just interesting culture going on.
Teens, if you are listening, I'm talking to you. So listen carefully and pull in close. You don't need to do this. Like, take up boxing. Do something that gets your physical aggression out. Like, there's all kinds of boxing clubs around the area. I'm sure there's ways. I mean, go lift weights. There's ways that you can get that physical aggression out otherwise and safely. Take a break. If you're angry about something, walk away from it. Take a break. I mean, there's nothing good that's going to come from you doing this. Try to figure out why you're angry. Figure out what's behind the anger. And it literally might be, hey, this dude's annoying and I want to pop him in the face. Like, that's fine. Like, just take a break from it. And eventually you're going to calm down. Like, you need to get help with this. If your first reaction is to fight, it's not going to go well for you in the future. Like you're like, when you are outside of the school grounds in the school safety, as you get older, and even as you're like, as you turn 16, 17, like, all it takes is one person to really throw a book at you. And next thing you know, like, your next 10 to 15 years are not going to be the same. And it's just not worth it. There's nothing you can do in a fight that's going to ever win you what you need, whether that be credit, reputation, a girl, a guy, whatever it may be. Like, nothing you do is ever going to, in a fight, is going to actually win you what you need. So just don't do it. Just I know that it's like, you know, with teens these days, a lot of the thing is like, I gotta, you know, protect my name and I gotta stand up for myself. There's other ways to stand up for yourself that aren't throwing hands. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to throw hands ever. Like, it's just not necessary.
You mentioned boxing, and that's what the student that Sarah has in her group has taken up boxing. But what I love is he has his opponent sign waivers now. So he is like genius, just like fully protecting himself of like, I am doing this. This is sanctioned. This is a two-way thing, and so smart. But yeah, that's what he started doing to stop fighting at school. But for our adults who are listening, I do think it's worth mentioning that there's usually something behind it. It's not usually just fighting. I think schools do a lot. They have extra security cameras, metal detectors, zero tolerance policies, and that doesn't always fix it. I think that it's worth thinking what could be going on behind the scenes for a teenager who's fighting. And it might be that there's something going on at home, or they feel like they lack control anywhere else. And so this is something that they can take control of. Maybe they have trouble managing their anger, or they're trying, like Tobin said, trying to gain respect or feel like they were disrespected. So they have to stand up for that. And then one thing that is a little different in my mind, and that is self-defense. So if you're being bullied, and that is a little different than what we're talking about. But at the same time, a lot of things that Tobin mentioned, like taking a break and making sure that maybe you're not just acting out in the heat of the moment, is something too. But if you're an adult, especially our school staff people, because if you're seeing this at school, you're probably going to see this more than the parents. And so this one is up to you. And it comes down to asking questions and figuring out what is behind it. It's real easy to label a teen as a problem kid, or they're a fighter, or they always get in fights. I'm not going to listen to them, instead of sitting and going, hey, what do you think is going on here? And let's ask some good questions and try maybe what Sarah did. Bring some cosmic brownies and start passing out brownies for kids who aren't getting in fights who used to. Or be a safe place if a student needs to come to you and say, hey, I feel like fighting this kid because this is what happened. And you're not going to overreact, but you're going to say, okay, let's figure out how I can help you with that. And be a safe harbor for a teen who is really struggling with that.
we're also promoting a culture of, hey, you know, it's not what we do. It's there's probably is something deeper there, especially just being an adult or a person in their life, just being able to help them process about what's going on beneath the surface. But just going along with that, if you are maybe a youth worker, a school staffer, just a parent wondering, how can I connect with teens and get them to open up to me? Just talking about connection, because I know that's something that we hear a lot is okay, I'm trying. How do I get them to even start the conversation with me, to mm-hmm. even trust me? The first thing is just to be available, right? And you might be sitting here as someone who is available, right? Like, I am available, right? And there's still not talking to me, not wanting to open up to me. I think it's being proactively available, right? And making sure, right, that the teens know you are available. And not only that you are also seeking them out. Because, I mean, you can be available all day and you can be like, man, you know, I don't have any dinner plans. Why aren't these, you know, teen that I need to, like, that I want to build a relationship with, right? Maybe be a mentor to, they're not approaching me. Well, it's just not what they do. It's not what they're used to, right? The ball is almost in your court. You have to be available. You have to be yourself. This is the big one too. You have to connect during the good times, so that way they have a background during hard conversations. You can't just expect teens to come to you when something is wrong, if no trust has been built, if no relationship is there to say, hey, I this is what I'm going through. You have to be super proactive on the front end when things are going well. Just, hey, let's catch up, right? You want to go out to lunch? You want to go out to dinner? I know that as youth workers, especially, right, where it's almost my job, is trying to make sure if there are certain teens that you want to mentor, disciple, or just be there for, just to take them out. Have no expectations, right? Maybe have some goal of a conversation, but it's not like, okay, I'm going to try to get as much information out of it, right? It's mm-hmm. just, hey, I just want to get to know them. I just want to let them know that I'm here for you. Is just, even if it's something as small as that, at the end of the conversation saying, hey, I want you to know I'm here for you, anything you need, right? Night or day, you have my phone number, you can call me. You know, as a school staffer, you know, there's certain things that I know that are so important, right? Even for me, whenever I'm looking back at my time as a teenager in school, showing up to games, being there for them. Maybe if you know something's going on, holding them back, saying, hey, is everything okay? I know this is going on, just to let them know you're there without forcing or pushing anything. And I know Tobin will probably be able to speak more towards the school staff part of it, but just being there, being available proactively, and being yourself during the good times and the bad as well.
I think something, me and my husband actually had this conversation the other day. And it was specifically maybe around, like, we were having conversation about grades and someone that he knew. But I use the example of, if you're only talking to your student, whether it's your child or a kid in your class, when their grades are bad and when they're struggling, and not when, hey, you did incredible on this assignment. Tell me what you liked about it. Why are you passionate about English? And trying to, like, dive in those good times too, like you were saying, Caleb, it's just not the same.
Right.
Like, why would they come to you for help, or why would they take that well if your only interaction with them is you did a really bad job? Instead of going, I'm going to find the good things, and you have, like, hey, you did incredible on this test and you had been struggling. What was different? Tell me about that. Like, I'm so proud of you. And have that conversation so that when they are struggling, it's not just, man, this teacher only talks to me when she's mad. This teacher only comes to me when he knows that, like, I'm about to get a lecture because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And you can't avoid that. You can't always avoid those conversations, those hard conversations, but look for ways to connect through good, because, like you said, if you're only coming in the bad, then they're going to be like, yeah, forget that relationship. I'm done with that.
Yeah. And if you are an adult or a school staff listening, like, think about that if it was your boss or your administration. Mm-hmm. Like, if they were only coming to you whenever they had problems with whatever you're doing, you're never going to trust that person in a time of need, ever. And so, like, keep that in mind as you are talking to teens, like, in I mean, again, if you're in a school staff situation, most of the time you guys know this already, but it just bear repeating, especially in high stress moments of just showing them the real you and maybe being a little vulnerable as well. Kind of showing them like, yeah, hey, you know, listen, I struggle with this. Or, hey, like when I was your age, this was tough for me. And you can still be firm and still have boundaries and guidelines of you are not meeting my academic needs in this situation as a student, and be connected to them. Like you can, and if anything, that might help you, like, and for being honest. So I just think sometimes it's just knowing your audience and knowing that there are times whenever you need to be the stern person, and there are times when they just need you to be there for them.
Yeah.
I think too, recently I was kind of talking to some people of like, hey, what questions do you have? What questions are you hearing from teens that we can talk about on the podcast? And what's so interesting is I got the connection question quite a bit, but one person said, what I get asked by teens is how can I get the adults in my life to care, not lecture?
Mm-hmm.
Which is hilarious because it's the flip side. Parents are going, how can I connect with teens? And teens are going, yeah, how can I connect with the adult and not feel like all I'm getting is just like beat over the head with a lecture?
Yeah.
And so I really want to pose this to you, but I think the first thing that I would say is if I was talking to a teen, which it shouldn't be on you, let me hear this. Like an adult should be able to have a good connection with you without only lecturing or only coming with bad things. That's what we just talked about. However, make sure that when you are talking to them, you're intentional maybe about the time that you're talking to them, because what I'll say is it's probably not about you. If they are lecturing you, if they're having a hard time in tough conversations, it might not even be your fault. They might have a lot going on at work. They might be stressed. If it's a teacher, maybe something at home is going on and you were just the straw that broke the camel's back. And that doesn't make it okay. Like I said, they should act like adults, but maybe other things are going on. So it's good to think like, okay, maybe next time late at night is not the time to talk to my parents when they're really tired, or first thing in the morning when they're trying to get out the door is not the time to have this conversation.
I think too, it's important about having adults, students, and teens in your life that aren't your parents, right? Mm-hmm. That are in a place to be able to maybe mentor you, walk you through some things that naturally probably won't come from a place of being lectured. And if you're sitting there and you're wondering like, okay, how do I start those conversations with, you know, maybe it's a youth worker, maybe it's a youth volunteer, maybe it's a teacher, a school staffer, right? You have to be able to tell yourself like, I promise you, they would not be in that business. They would not be taking that job if they weren't there for you, right? Mm. If they didn't want a relationship or just to be there for you, right? I can speak personally. I did not sign up to be a youth minister for the money, right? People do not sign up to be teachers for the big paycheck. They do it because they care about students, because they care about you. And so evaluate and say, okay, is there someone in my life, right, outside of my family, I look up to? And maybe you don't have a close relationship with them, but you're like, man, that person is cool, right? I like any time that I'm spent with them. I like being in their class, anything like that. And maybe you are able to start the conversation, right? Because while we just talked to adults about being intentional, maybe you're not even on their radar yet. And just being able to start a conversation, be intentional, right back to them, say, hey, are you free? And this is what I always tell my teens, you can usually get a free lunch out of it or a free coffee out of it as well. If you're like, hey, you want to go grab coffee? And it doesn't have to be anything bad, right? It can just be like, hey, you know, I've really enjoyed any time I get with you. So you just want to grab coffee, right? Mm-hmm. And I think having those adult relationships that aren't built on the foundation of being lectured or like, right, I have to tell you what to do, just being able to be there and walk with you and maybe guide you, it helps a lot, just where you are and how even you view your relationships with adults.
Yeah,
everyone needs that hype person in their life, an adult that's gonna go, you're awesome, way to go, you're doing it. And so if you don't have that in a parent, you can totally find that somewhere else, even if that's intimidating
for sure. And just, you know, as always, if you enjoy what you listen to, we're talking about finance, schools, and connections today. Go ahead and make sure you subscribe and follow us on all our social media and podcast platforms. And don't forget that we are all here to help each other. And that includes teens, if you're listening, or school staff or parents. We are all here for the same goal, and that is to live life better. So just hope you guys have enjoyed what you listened to. And don't forget that teenagers are not a problem to be solved.